are listening to the Sermon Podcast from Real Life on the Palouse, reaching the world for Jesus, one person at a time.
So we're finishing up this sermon series. Next week, we're kicking off Advent. Can you believe it? You're like, Thanksgiving. Yes, it's happening. And so next week, we're kicking off Advent. But this three-week sermon series was on legacy. And I want to thank the Whitings for fixing my stool up. I asked last week if anybody wanted to do any work on it. And they're like, yeah, we'll put some vinyl graphics on it, but we have bigger plans for it, but we can do that in a week. And so they fixed my awesome legacy stool. And so we want to sit on the seat of legacy in our lives. We want to build a legacy. And we talked about it over the last 3 weeks, that first leg is contentment. That you're never going to have a legacy if you don't find godly contentment. If you're always thinking that there is not enough for you, and you have to keep chasing more than enough of stuff for you and in your future, and it's all secured in your 401k or your investments or your job or your title or those things. And I asked that really difficult question that was still difficult for me. When in your lifetime, when was the most recent time where you can just be like, I'm fully content? I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I'm a good pass-through entity. I will pass through all these things that whatever the Lord pours upon me, I need nothing. And to live in that moment of what it looks like to be content. And then last week, we talked about the other leg of the stool was generosity, that once you're content and you believe that God is enough, that he always has been enough in the past, he always will be enough in the future, he's good enough for you right now, and he's good enough for where you're going to need to be in the future, you start living a life that looks different, and you start living a life that looks like generosity, because that is a characteristic of Jesus Christ. That is a characteristic of our God in heaven, is that we are very generous people. And so we looked at that in the eyes of just financing and basic stuff like tithing and giving to your church. And by the way, last week we had 9 new people that gave for the very first time to our church. And so that's super cool that they're just like, I'm taking the step of faith. I'm going to do it, right? And so that's awesome. And so we talked about generosity, but not just with our finances. I shared the story of Doug and Annette Smoot, who had invested in my life and who took time out of his life to help me walk through that, to help my marriage not blow up, to help me walk with my small group, to help me walk after that, and to love my family. And so not only were they faithful with their finances and faithful to what God was calling them to, they were faithful with their time of investing in a young man like me. And so we talked about that aspect of generosity. And today, we're going to talk about the third leg of faithfulness. And we're going to install, whoa, don't fall on me. We need a strong legacy here, not a weak legacy. I found out earlier that this is a plant stool. This is for a plant. That's why I got it. No wonder it was so cheap on Amazon, right? It's a plant stool. But let's see if the legs that the Lord has put together on this will hold a 201-poundish man on here. And so we have this third leg of faithfulness. Okay, let's see if I can sit on our legacy. Oh, I can sit on our legacy. That'd be a really bad illustration if it broke, wouldn't it? It blows up on us. So today we're installing this third leg that we believe will help support a legacy mindset, which is this legacy of faithfulness. So legacy is not a lucky accident that happens at the end of your life. Legacy is built day by day by day by listening to God and being obedient to him day after day after day. Remember, contentment keeps you grounded. Generosity helps you have open hands to receive what God has for you and to use these resources and to pass those resources on. Remember that quote? God loves to put money in the hands of people that he knows he can get it through into his kingdom. And faithfulness keeps you going when everything in you wants to quit. Contentment is the freedom of knowing that God is enough. Generosity is the overflow of enough. And perseverance is understanding long-term about God's enoughness. I don't think that's a word, but we can claim it. Over our lifetimes. And only when all three of these legs are in place does the stool actually stand and the seat of legacy is available for us. What your life rests on and what you leave behind, and today we lock in that final leg. I want you guys to imagine, well, you don't even have to imagine. I got a picture for you. Take a look at this. Here is a beautiful lake. And I want you to think about this flat lake, and I don't know if you guys were like me but when I was a kid. If I was on a mountain lake, one of the first things I would do, especially if it was flat like this, is I'm like looking for rocks. I'm going to skip some stones. How many people like to skip stones, or you did then? You're like, yeah, what can I throw in there, right? And so just imagine you're walking by this lake, and you were finding these stones, and you got the perfect stone. You're like, this is a great stone. This is going to go all the way across the lake in your mind. And you pick up your stone, and you throw it, and it's a 1, 2, 3. And then it catches something. You're mad. You're like, that was such a good throw. How could that happen? You pick up another stone. Like, this is a good stone. You throw it across, and it's 2, 3, 4, 5. And you see all of the little ripples going out from the stone that you're throwing. And that's a little bit of what faithfulness can look like. That those ripples are going to continue out across this lake. They keep spreading and touching shores. And sometimes legacy and faithfulness combined will touch shores that you will never see. There's people that are in your faith heritage legacy that you don't even know their names. And it keeps spreading. And that's faithfulness. And a lot of times faithfulness doesn't feel very heroic. It doesn't feel very awesome. Maybe it feels like one more quiet prayer. Maybe it feels like one more knot in this relationship that you're tying to hang on to with God. Maybe it feels like one more tithe even when your budget is tight. Or maybe it feels like showing up to your life group when you really don't want to. Because you and your wife just got in a fight, but you're hosting and you have to anyway. Oh no. But you show up to that life group and you may not be at your best, but God has something in you and you are sharing something and it touches that person's life that was there, but you almost missed it because you didn't show up. Maybe it looks like forgiving that person one more time. You're like, this is the 78th time that I've had to forgive them. Or choosing to love your spouse when it's really, really hard. See, those are all small stones of faithfulness that are going to leave a massive legacy in the kingdom of God. And when you stay faithful long enough and you keep throwing the good stones of contentment, you keep throwing the good stones of generosity, even though you'll never see the results of that on this side of heaven, that is being faithful and that's what builds legacy. Jesus talks about faithfulness and how faithfulness stores treasures that fires will not destroy. And he says it in his text here in Matthew 6. We talked about this before. He says, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth. This is Jesus Christ talking to his disciples, by the way. This is red letter world. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's talking to you and he's like, hey, Josh, don't store up for your treasures here on earth. Don't think the things that you're doing here on earth are the things that are going to last. How many people in here like to watch like car restoration shows? It's just the guys. Okay, cool. No. Car restoration shows. I was listening to one last night when I was exercising. This guy bought a barn find Trans Am. It was a really cool 1978 Trans Am. And I was listening to it on my walk because I was getting my health stuff taken care of and doing my walk. And they were like, he's like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. And as they uncovered this Trans Am, it had all kinds of animal feces on it, in it, and around it. It had animals that lived in it. But it was going to be awesome. It was one of the original. It had the Pontiac engine, not the GMC engine. It was going to be awesome. And they get like the bird, the little patina on it was awesome. It was going to be so great. And as they started uncovering this awesome treasure, guess what they found in it? Rust. And what could have been so awesome was being eaten up by the things of this world, by the animals that were in there. He ended up selling it, not restoring it. I know it was a real bummer for me too. But think about this when you think about, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be. Faithfulness is simply consistent obedience aimed at the only treasury that will never go bankrupt. aimed at the only treasury that's going to be there for the eternal time, and that's treasures in heaven. Contentment reorientates kind of what we want and what we think, takes our eyes off of all the flashy stuff around us. Generosity reveals who we trust as things flow in and out of our hands. And faithfulness directs everything towards the kingdom that cannot be shaken. So what do these treasures in heaven look like? What could they look like? Well, a lot of them look like time. They look like you showing up to a 15-year-old's game that you're a person that you're supporting that doesn't have a dad, and you're showing up and cheering them on. It looks like that conversation you have with that gal whose boyfriend just broke up with him, and you made the time out of your busy life to sit down and talk with them and walk them through, like, what does it look like, and sit with them and be in their hurt and their sorrow. Well, how am I building a legacy doing that? You're being available. You're engaging in people's lives. It looks like a marriage that survives because you refuse to quit when everyone told you you should. It looks like missionaries that are still on the mission field because you quietly gave for decades. It looks like your great-grandchild, Lazarus's grandchild, who knows who Jesus is because the ripples finally reached him that your parents started. Think about this. There's this lighthouse called Cape Disappointment Lighthouse. And it's where the Columbia River enters the Pacific. You guys know that that's a super dangerous spot, by the way. Have you ever anybody been to Astoria and been to the Maritime Museum there? They have like lists of like hundreds of ships that have just gotten toasted right off this spot right here. Because there's so much power of the Columbia River going out and the Pacific Ocean coming in, and it really messes people up. And for a long time, that messed people up, and they got disoriented where they were, and they would run aboard the ground. And so 169 years ago, they built a lighthouse. And this lighthouse, before GPS, before we knew exactly where we were on the earth for every pinpoint moment, saved thousands and thousands of lives and hundreds of boats because it showed people where the shore was. And do you know that none of those boats, none of those people knew who built the lighthouse? Those people don't really know who's maintaining the light. They just know that there's a light, and a light can be legacy, and you can be a light in somebody's life. You can be that strong point where they know where the dangers are. That's faithfulness. So as you think about the concept of having a legacy mindset and you're faced with constant decisions, think about it, you know, is this going to matter down the road? Or am I wasting my time on decisions that really aren't going to matter in eternity? Faithfulness multiplies. Do you know that faithfulness multiplies? Faithfulness multiplies like Jesus. He called us to be faithful. Jesus never tried to reach the whole world by himself. He chose to use 12 ordinary men and the ladies that were there around him, and he invested into them for 3 years. And then he handed this mission off to him, and he ascended to heaven, and he gave us the Holy Spirit to help us stay focused on legacy and having a legacy mindset, to answer those questions. In the text in John 15, it says, I chose you and appointed you so that you would go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. What fruit are we bearing that's going to last? Do you know Jesus still has no plan B? You're his plan. I'm his plan. We're not observers. We're not sitting on the field and cheering on the other Christians. We are his plan. He says it in the text. He says it in Matthew 18:19. He says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, what I want you to do is go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them, yes, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, yes, to obey everything I have commanded you. And that is why you and I are here today, is because some people took that really, really serious. Well, that was for the apostles. No, you wouldn't be here if it was only for the apostles, because they all died. But they passed it on, and you and I get the opportunity to pass it on, because faithfulness multiplies like Jesus. Paul, chained to a Roman guard, facing execution, writes this: I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Those poor guards. Being chained to Paul, like he's in a house arrest, but you're chained to a guard for like, next guy in, like, hey, you get Paul for like 24 hours. You are in for a ride. I don't guess we don't have anything to talk about. Let's talk. He's expanding the gospel on his way to the guillotine, the common methods or ideas that he got beheaded. Well, why would he say that? Why would he say, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith? What is he excited about? He can say that because Timothy is ready. He's handed off his faith. He can say that because Titus is ready. He can say that because churches are multiplying. See, Paul's earthly life is ending, but his kingdom legacy is exploding. And we are a part of that kingdom legacy. We are a part of the church spreading. Contentment lets you find the lake because you stop looking at all the flashy things that are in front of you. And then you start throwing your good stones like generosity. It starts a ripple, and the faithfulness turns it into a wave, and we are a result of that wave of faithfulness. So I have a challenge for all of you. I'm going to pray over it, actually. I'm going to pray this on you. Whoa. I'm going to pray this on you. You're going to be visiting probably with some fabulous family over Thanksgiving, aren't you not? It's always easy. It's always wonderful. But maybe there's somebody in your family, and maybe it's beyond your family, but I want you to be thinking of 3 to 5 people. Actually, I don't even want you to be thinking about it. I want the Lord to put those people on your brain and on your heart and let them not leave you over this time frame. And yes, you're going to watch football, and yes, you're going to be full or whatever you're doing at your Thanksgiving, but I wonder if there's a spiritual conversation that is being primed and ready for you to have with your family. I wonder if there's a spiritual conversation that is primed and being ready to happen at your workplace, and God's going to reveal it. Let me pray for this over you guys. Father God, I ask that the Holy Spirit would come upon everyone right now at this very second, that you are bringing legacy names into their minds. But there's no doubt that you've dropped those names, that you're going to be revealing those names to these folks in here so that they can start building that legacy by investing their time, by investing their ears to listen, that you would give them the questions that they should ask, the starter questions, the things that they could do, so we start spreading the legacy of the kingdom of God in a powerful way, that you have people for everyone in this room. Lord, I pray that upon your people. I pray that upon me, that you would continue to expand our territory, expand the lives that we invest in. In Jesus' name I say that. Amen. Schedule a time, meet, and invest. Here's something else that faithfulness does. Faithfulness finishes the race. Anybody can start strong, but you got to finish. And guess what you got to do? You got to start. You got to get in the blocks. Are you in the blocks? Some of us are in the blocks. You've accepted Jesus Christ. You've confessed that he is Lord with your mouth. You believe in your heart that he died on the cross. And you believe that after 3 days he was raised, and you're like, yes. And then you're like, it's really comfortable here. I love the starting blocks. Let me think about it some more. No, this is a long race. This could be a long thing to do. I might mess up. I might trip and stumble. You know what? I'll get out of the starting blocks as soon as I have the Bible memorized. I'm saved, though. I got it. I'm okay. And some of us have been Christians for 20 years, and we're still in the blocks. Do you know that a lot of Christians haven't led one person to faith in their life? And that could be a lot of us in here. But we have to get out of the blocks. We have to run the race And that race looks like time and engaging in people. We need to finish strong. We need to think that we are going to actually finish this race and hand off the baton of faith to others. If you hand it off to a guy like this, it's going to go really far, really fast. Next picture. That's Usain Bolt. He's very fast. Well, you know what kind of scared me this week as I was thinking about my message? Is like, you think that you're running a race, right? And you're running this great race and you're doing all these things that you think are important and maybe you haven't been aligned with God. And you get to the end of the race and you get ready to hand off your baton and there's nobody there. Wouldn't that be sad? If there was no one there to hand the baton off and you were running the wrong race? Having a legacy mindset will make sure that you're running the right race. Paul says this again. He says, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me. The Lord Jesus has given each and every one of us a task. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. How many people think it's important to spread the gospel? Like, it's really important. Like, it's helped you out a little bit. Like, your life is completely different, right? How many of us have been preparing to spread the gospel? How many of us feel confident that we could have a gospel conversation and we wouldn't just have to run them to the pastor or run them to somebody else? Like, tag, you're it. You're the one holding the baton. Spreading the gospel is critical. It's important. Jim Elliot. There's a story called The Sword and the Spear. He's 28 years old, and he goes to reach this unreached tribe in Ecuador. And he has four other guys with him. And they go to reach this tribe, and they get killed on the beach with a spear by this tribe. Missionaries. Five men dead. Spears thrust through their hearts. And the world looks at this as one giant failure, a total failure, like a race that was ended too soon. But his wife, Elizabeth, decides the race isn't over, that they don't die in vain. And she and others went back, and that tribe came to Christ. And today there's a thriving church among them. Some of the people and the sons and grandsons of the people that threw the spears that killed him in the 50s are pastors, expanding the gospel. See, the world sees that as a total failure, but God sees that as a legacy victory triumph. Here's one of Jim's quotes. He says, "He is a fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." He is a fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And it means that it's wise to sacrifice temporary or material possessions, things that you're not going to keep. You don't get a U-Haul on your way to heaven. For eternal or intangible rewards, things that you cannot lose, these treasures in heaven that Jesus is speaking about. It encourages us to prioritize spiritual or long-term gains over earthly fleeting ones. That it's a prudent exchange of limited value for unlimited permanent value. Someone paid the price for you and I to hear the gospel. And someone may be here today. Today may be the time that they are going to receive the gospel. Today may be the time that they're going to get baptized and put that spiritual marker in the ground. So you got to throw your stone. You got to start the race. You got to run the race. You got to pass the baton. We got to spread the gospel. Salvation is a free gift from God offered to anyone who accepts it. It sets us free from captivity of the consequences of eternal sin. And God's word tells us that every person has sinned, which is disobedience from God's commands, but we all have a choice to not live there. And our salvation marks that. It marks the beginning of a faith journey. It puts us in the starting blocks, and we need to get out and run. We need to repent from our sins. We need to confess, be baptized by immersion, and submit our life daily to Jesus. And anyone who puts their faith in Jesus will have their sins forgiven and be filled with the Holy Spirit. They will inherit and pass on the kingdom of God. They will have a good legacy. Now, I'm going to invite you guys into something that I cannot do alone. We cannot do this alone. I talked about, we saw pictures of the buildings and stuff that we want to do, and that's great, and the Lord's going to do that and at some day, and we want to pay off the mall, and so if you got a spare $7.5 million, we'd love to see that. No. We want to pay off the mall. We want to be able to zap $100,000 problems in our communities here. Like, those are all things that, yep, we're going to have the ability to do that. But there's been a calling that's been stirring upon the heart of our elders. There's this calling that's been stirring on my part and the part of some of our core guys here, and that's to expand the gospel. It's for us to all get together and stand on that shoreline together and all throw our stones. And if we all threw our stones at the same time, we're going to create more than a ripple, are we not? We throw our stones of generosity. We throw our stones of contentment and faithfulness, and we're going to create a ripple. And a corporate faithfulness, when we all do that together, that ripple becomes a tidal wave. Jesus didn't command us to gather to be comfortable. He said, go out and make disciples. A faithful church is always a sending church. I'm going to tell you a little bit about your legacy. In 1998, your legacy if you're part of Post Falls, in 1998, who wasn't even born in 1998? Raise your hand. Wow. You were born in 1998. No. Couples were praying in Post Falls. They were praying for a Christian church to be here, to be in Post Falls. And the Lord launched a church in Post Falls called Real Life in Post Falls, and it's a pretty giant church right now. And you know what that church did after it got launched? As it planted a church in the Spokane Valley called Valley Real Life, my mentor Dan Shields. And that church has 5 services and thousands of people go to it. I think they baptized like 250 people in one Christmas. And they are continuing to grow and grow and grow. And then they launched a church on the north side of Spokane. And they launched a church in Newport. And they launched campuses in Coeur d'Alene and Hayden. They launched a church in Treasure Valley. And in 2008, they launched a church down here. And there was 3 families that drove down here for months. They got 6 months of their wages, guaranteed, and they drove down here for months. And you know what they did? They didn't go look for a building. They didn't look for a cool mic. They didn't look for great screens. They didn't look for all those things. You know what they did? They looked for people, because God's church is not a building, it's people. And they started small groups. And the church was birthed out of small groups where there was enough people getting together where they're like, we should do a church service. They're like, well, there's like 90 of us, I guess so. But they were investing and the church was built on that. And it was a sending church. And so they took risks. These families took risks, financial risk, bald tires on a purple Dodge Neon in wintertime risk to come down here so we could be sitting here. We've got the privilege in May of 2020 as we launched off the church in Pullman as its own church. You know, it's funny, the business world is like, you just gave away, 15% of your giving and 300 of your people. And we're like, no, we just launched an army in another town. And so I'm here to tell you guys today, as we get close to our Giving Tuesday, so you're going to have a great Thanksgiving this week. You're going to go moderately spend money on Friday. And thank goodness there's no other holidays we could spend. Oh, Cyber Monday, that's right. And then we have Giving Tuesday. So when you have no more money left, that's when we want you to give. No. And we're going to launch a church plant in Lewiston, Idaho. Do you know that this morning there's 42,000 people in Lewiston-Clarkston? That's where I met, LC Valley. There's 42,000 people in LC Valley. You know what they're doing today? They're not going to a church. They're like, I can't wait for the Seahawks game. I'm so excited. I'm sitting at home. I'm preparing. I got my seat ready to watch some football. And that's their legacy. They're going to be the football watchers. Or some awesome redneck that I would like to know is loading up his side-by-side on the top of his F-350 because they're going to go out hunting. I like that. 2, they could do that on Saturdays. There's 42,000 people that don't know Jesus Christ 30 miles south of us. Can we sit here and think that that's okay? There's probably a couple, a high school sweetheart couple like Carrie and I at Lewiston High School or Clarkson High School or Soton High School that are going to need a church like this in 5 or 6 or 7 years that's going to help them save their marriage so they don't get divorced. There's people that are going to need restoration night. They're going to need things like there, and it's right below us. And so we've been praying about this. We're massaging this, and I believe God has called us to it. I absolutely believe God has called us to it. I believe he's preparing the people and the soil. He's been doing all those things, and we are going to throw our stones. And because of our faithfulness here, what we have here, we're hoping that we have down there. This is where last week's generosity and this week's faithfulness collide in a beautiful way. The church in Singapore that I was reading about, I heard about, they started in house churches in the 1990s. And that church now is spread outside of Singapore and in many countries where it's illegal to have a church. And there's over 3 million people that are in a Christian church because of a dream that started in the 1990s in somebody's house. One obedient church, one generation of faithfulness, and an ocean of glory. So some applications for us this week. What do we need to do to pull this off? Well, first of all, I want you to pray for the unreached people group down there. The people who need Jesus, who need to be introduced to Jesus, who need a relational, disciple-making church in their lives. They don't need fog machines. They don't need fancy worship. They don't need amazing preaching. They need to be loved on and pointed to the truth of who Jesus Christ is. They need to be cared for when their parents die. They need to be loved on when they have a tragedy happening. They need to have community. So be praying for that. Who is that? You know what we need to have a church? I had somebody ask earlier, hey, are you guys looking for a building? No. We're looking for people that we can invest in and love and care for. So who is it that you may know down in Lewiston that would be excited to have something like this? Not this building, but you know what I mean, something like this out of this. Maybe you put a line item in your monthly budget for church planning. Even if it's $25 or $50 or whatever it is that you're like, nope, I'm throwing that stone. I'm throwing that stone for sure. Maybe you need to step out of where we are. Maybe you're called to go. Maybe you're called to go down there. Maybe you're called to go on a mission trip. Maybe it's a long-term mission. We stood over this area as a group, and we did a prayer like over this area for about 30 minutes, about 25 people. We prayed over that entire area. We prayed for over all those people. But I can't do this by myself. I'm going to do it or die trying. But God has called us to this. I know that for sure. Faithfulness doesn't just coast to the finish line. It hands off the baton at full speed. And it's time for us to think about that. So in closing here, the only legacy that will outlive you is this. One day, after your obituary is written, your estate is settled, and your social media is archived, only two things will remain. The Word of God and the souls of His people. Let's have contentment keep us grounded, generosity keep us free, and faithfulness keep us running all the way home. Because when we finally get there, you're probably going to think about what will you hear? And I don't think Jesus will say, well done, good and successful servant. I don't think Jesus is going to say, well done, good and busy servant. I don't think Jesus is going to say, well done, good and popular servant. You had a lot of followers on your Instagram. I think that Jesus is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome. Enter into the joy of your master's home. Church is one of the only legacies worth giving your entire life to build. Let's build it together. Let's have a legacy mindset. Jesus did. We're going to take this opportunity to go to the table here. And so if you're new with us, you probably didn't grab one of these, and raise your hand and we'll get you one. But every week, we get the privilege of taking communion together as a family. We want to remember where we are going back to. We want to remember what Jesus did. This is legacy. We're quoting and talking about something that happened over 2,000 years ago. And we're not the only ones doing this today, by the way. There's thousands and thousands of people remembering who Jesus was and what he did and talking about and expanding the legacy of the kingdom of God. So if you're a believer, we invite you to this. If you're not a believer, I want to talk to you and I want to share with you the most amazing thing ever. I want to share with you something that's going to change your life. And then help you follow Jesus. So you shouldn't take it if you're not a believer. If you are, join with me. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, and it is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, we remember your legacy. And the same way, after supper, he took this cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again." He is going to come again, and we are going to be part of that legacy that when he comes again, people are going to know his name. Every knee will bow. Everybody will know the name of Jesus Christ. Let us be a part of that legacy, Lord. Thank you for inviting us. Father God, I thank you for this time with these awesome folks who love you, who want to have a legacy, who believe in legacy, who think it's important that people are introduced to you and your ways. Help us get rid of all the noise and stuff that's distracting us, Lord, and let us have a legacy mindset. Change our minds, not just today, not just for a 3-week sermon series, but for eternity. May we be focused on you. May we be content with you. May we understand generosity at a whole new level, that it goes beyond us. And may we be faithful to the kingdom of God. We say this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this message from Real Life. You can find out more about us by visiting liferotp.com and connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, have a great week.